Thanks be to God. You know, as I've prayerfully considered this text this week, it's really spoken to me personally in a lot of ways. And so often the messages that I share with you on a weekly basis, they're things that I'm wrestling with. There are experiences, challenges, questions, worries that are engulfing my life that the text seems to breathe into me, and God offers me the grace to share with you. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, we receive those messages together that seem were crafted just for us specifically. Isn't that a gift of God's Spirit and presence with us, no matter what we're facing? Well, today, as I wrestle with this text, one word that really resonated with me with this message for this week is the appeal for forgiveness. In our text, we hear where Jesus says, I'm going to equip you as my disciples, as my people in our world, to be people of forgiveness, to be hope in our world where there's so much turmoil and backbiting, intention. We, as people of faith, people of Christ, are set apart to be messengers of love and light. So Jesus says, I'm equipping you disciples with forgiveness. But as our God often does, friends, our Lord Jesus Christ doesn't just call us to do things. He always is the example first. He sets for us the tone of how to live out our faith. So this message today, before we're called to forgive, let's receive the forgiveness that Jesus offers to us, just as he did those disciples. Imagine with me, this is our text picks up today, and it tells us this is just days after Jesus had been crucified and resurrected. And the disciples, our scripture tells us, they were in the upper room. They were locked up. They were shut in. They were sheltered in place for fear. They were facing anxiety, as many of us are right now, in the troubles and perils that we're facing as we're sheltered in place. But you see, an important thing to understand in this text today, let's remember that the disciples, Jesus' friends, as we think about our friends and families, had actually deserted him when he needed them the most. Just prior, days ahead, when Jesus was tried in court, none of them were there. When Jesus was hung upon the cross and needed the comfort and support of friends, they had fled. They were nowhere around. So into this setting, Jesus comes to them, their first appearance of him. And how does he respond to them? In spite of their betrayal, denial, and desertion, he says to them, peace be with you, and offers them joy. You see, our Lord, friends, here is practicing forgiveness. And you know what turns my world upside down in this text today? That when we think of forgiveness in our world today, oftentimes someone has to initiate the forgiveness process, right? And most often it's the one who's the offender. If I've hurt someone, then it's my responsibility to go to them and say, I'm sorry, will you forgive me? But you see, our Lord Jesus this morning, he turns that model upside down. Our disciples were the offenders. They're the ones who had betrayed him and deserted him, and they didn't even ask for forgiveness in our text today. Jesus offered it first. You see, friends, I hope that you embrace those words of life with me today. That our God comes to us. Our Lord Jesus Christ initiates the forgiveness process, not by us first asking him for forgiveness, but for him first coming to us and offering his love. It always begins with his presence. Just as he entered that upper room and made himself known to those disciples, and he said, peace be with you, he comes to us in our brokenness, and He initiates the restoration process. You know, that word peace that we hear in our text today, the Greek word for that we've interpreted peace is actually a word called eirene. And that word eirene means much more than just an absence of conflict. It means a complete fullness in life. It means that sadness is overcome with joy. It means sorrow is replaced with comfort. It means poor health is restoration to life and wholeness. That's the blessing that Jesus offers to His disciples in this text today. Friends, may we be strengthened in our separation, as we are those who are facing peril and isolation right now, know that our God sustains us and embraces us with that same fullness and peace and life that He gave to His disciples. Yes, the forgiveness of our Lord, our restoration to our relationship with our holy God begins with Jesus coming to us, not us going to Christ. But you know, there's another powerful message in this text today. Beyond the forgiveness that our Lord Jesus Christ offers in our text today, there's also something else that is spoken to me this week, and I pray will speak to you all who are dealing with the grief and loss of loved ones recently and over the last year. As we've dwelt in our sorrow and sadness, even if it wasn't our individual family members, perhaps our heart is breaking because those that we love have lost loved ones. Well, you see, in this text today, beyond the forgiveness and the doubts of the disciples, I think that Jesus is also communicating to us that He is comforting His disciples in their grief. Here's what I mean. Remember with me, these disciples who are gathered in the upper room today, they've just lost a friend. They've lost their Lord, their teacher, their leader. Imagine with me someone who's been a mentor to us, a source of strength in our faith, a family member, a loved one. Jesus was all of that to them, and they are engulfed with sadness and sorrow at the loss of a friend. Friends, doesn't that speak to the world we're in right now? Many of us have lost loved ones. If we haven't lost loved ones as a result of COVID-19, we know those who have, and we too are filled with hearts of sorrow and grief as the disciples were in our text today. You see, that's when Jesus comes to us too, friends. Jesus, our Lord, sees us in our brokenness, and He comes to overcome our pain and our grief with joy and love. You see, that's what I receive in this text today, that as the disciples were in the upper room, as they were locked in with grief in fear, in sorrow, Jesus came and stood among them. Not only did He offer them peace, but our scripture says that when they saw Him, they rejoiced. Here's what I received there. That our God, when we share communion with our Lord, when we grow in our relationship with Jesus through our prayer life, through our scripture reading, by listening to music and worshiping with our friends, hear this with me, church. I believe this, and I've experienced this with every fiber in me. God comes to us in our sorrow, in our sadness, in our fear when we're locked in our rooms, and he gives us joy. There's a joy from on high that we cannot experience in this world. And God journeys with us through whatever we face. But I want to give you one more word of hope today. I know that many of you are struggling with your own fears right now. Fears of the economy. Fears of your own health challenges. Fears of when are we going to get out of this mess? When can we get back together? And for many of us, I know your questions are saying, listen, Jody, I believe in Jesus. I believe when we all get to heaven, it's going to be all right. But listen, preacher, I need some strength right now. I need some comfort as I'm in the fires. I hear you. I get it. You know, I was thinking of an analogy this morning as Manya and I had our coffee. Many of you know I'm a coffee lover and I like strong coffee. We use our little Keurig machine and, you know, back in the old days, those old percolator pots, I think they still probably make the best coffee. One reason those coffee pots were so good, the old percolators, is because they didn't get in a hurry. And another thing that I learned from those old coffee pots is the more coffee you put into the water, the stronger the coffee would become. You know, I think there's an analogy to us right now as we're going through challenges and adversities and even sorrows in our life. We, in that imagery that I just shared, are similar to that water. When we, like water, go through the coffee, we are transformed. We become something different by going through the heating process. That's what happens when water is heated and goes through coffee. It becomes something different. And I would say, as a coffee lover, something better. Friends, right now, many of us are going through the heat. We're going through the challenges like water boiling. And we're going through the challenges of that coffee, that change, that transformation process. And so often, the longer as a strong cup of coffee, the longer we stay in it, the stronger we become. This is not easy, what we're facing. As we're going through a change process right now, as we're facing adversities in ways far greater than water being turned into coffee, friends, may we know that we're being strengthened. And we, like a strong cup of coffee that are being transformed, we are being transformed and strengthened through God's grace. You know, lastly, I want to share one final message with you today. I want us to understand and know that God will use these challenges, this bad that we're facing, for good. That as we go through this discernment process, praying through all the separation and sickness, that we're strengthened. That the most important message that I can leave us with today is this. That we are strengthened for our journey, not so much through our own muscles, but the strength from on high and the grace of the Holy Spirit. Let me say it this way. You know, many of us that are sports fans, we're lamenting not being able to watch our favorite teams. I saw just yesterday on television, they were talking about the soccer team, the football team in Liverpool, England, and how those sports-crazed fans were just so supportive of their teams through the ups and downs. And back a few years ago, they got a new coach, a new manager, they called him, for the Liverpool soccer team, football club. And the manager they got, he had been one of the best players that had ever played the game in Germany. And as they hired him to be a coach, you know, I thought about that. I thought that coach knows everything that needs to be done. He can tell those players exactly what they need to do to succeed on the field. So the question begs, why doesn't he just do it himself? He knows what needs to be done. Why doesn't he get out there and perform? Well, we all know the answer. He needs someone faster than him. He needs someone stronger than him. He surpassed his prime in life and performance, and he needs someone to do on the field what he no longer can. Well, friends, let's think about that in a spiritual realm this morning. And let's think about that in our journey for strength right now. As we're facing trials, as we're facing a battle in our life, the grief, the sorrows, and the struggles, we need a strength greater than our own to do what we can't. We need someone to perform for us far greater than scoring a goal on a soccer field. Friends, we need a strength from our God to sustain us in our grief, our sorrows, and our fears. Friends, that strength is available to us. Our scripture today said to us that Jesus Christ came to his disciples and he said to them this, "Receive the Holy Spirit, for he will strengthen you throughout your journey of life as you seek to serve me and live out my love." So friends, may we be strengthened through the Spirit to face our griefs, to overcome our fears, that we may still be people of forgiveness, life, and love that give hope to our world in need that is found only through our Lord Jesus Christ. Would you pray with me today? God, as we bow in your presence now and listen to our closing song, I just ask that you make yourself known to all who are struggling in their own griefs right now. Your love is divine. As your scripture promised us today, O God, if we'll simply believe in you, you come to us and you conquer every question and doubt. And we, like Thomas, find it hard to believe at times. We're grateful, oh God, that even in our lack of belief, you strengthen us and you believe into us. In the words of Scripture, like the man who said, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." I pray for all of my friends this day. Those who've never entrusted you, may you make yourself known right now, God, that they may turn to you and begin their journey of life that never ends, of love and comfort. Give them the courage to trust in you and say, "God, I believe in every way I can. Will you help my unbelief?" Will you help them to know that's enough? Will you show to those who've never journeyed with you in this life, God, that you first come to us in our sorrow. You come to us to give us forgiveness and to restore us to life and joy. God, if there are those who are seeking today for life, for hope, to not only begin their journey with you, but to renew the life-giving love that's found only in you, will you pour your Spirit into them now as we pray for each other and with one another? As I lift up every person listening remotely today for their fears and concerns, for their worries and wants, in every way, oh God, that the desires of their heart and mind can be in accordance with your holy need and pleasure for our life, will you open the floodgates of heaven? Will you pour miracles of grace and restoration in their life, their relationships, giving us hope and comfort, knowing that even as we journey through these challenges that we're facing, we will be strengthened through the process and strengthened in our journey until we all are gathered in that heavenly realm where there's no more sorrow, no more goodbyes, no more brokenness, no more fear, only life, love, and joy forever. In the name of Jesus, we pray and celebrate His love. Amen. Dear friends, I pray that you've been blessed in worship today. I offer you this final blessing of Scripture. That the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Lift His countenance upon you and give you peace now and forever. Amen.